Habushka to the beginning.
Mm.
Praise out you, God in Zion. Lord, all this incense, they are unto your name.
Mm.
This gathering is unto your name. We call you from heaven, Lord. This incense is unto your name.
Jesus.
This incense is unto your name. Shalom Boshkeba Boshkeba Boshkira Tezuzia. These people, they are yours. This incense is unto your name. This is to the praise of your glory. They are praising you. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Abusia. I sense and I'm thinking tonight because of what I'm already seeing. I'm just going to be there, and there is, of course, already, yes, a fresh reignition of the fire of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is coming again. Some persons walked in the depths of the anointing. Tonight, the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit is coming afresh. Fresh anointing. It's going to come on you. Presence. Because the anointing is a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The passing of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be the ignition of fresh anointing. The psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed fresh again. There's a reignition of the fresh endowment, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What is called the Mimshak Ruach HaKodesh. Mimshak Ruach HaKodesh. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Some of you is dropping on your head. There's something pouring on your head. You can sense like a tingling sensation on your head and some feeling on your forehead just flowing down your face. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, let those signs confirm this anointing upon the hearts and the life of as many as this world is talking to. Let this sign confirm this word. Grant that this sign confirm this word. Fresh anointing. And for others who may not necessarily have that, but you, there's an experience of the freshness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As presence, some of you, your personal life now, your daily life will be characterized with the ministry of God's presence. Genuine, the glory of God, the presence of God, the tabernacling anointing of the Holy Spirit. Enveloping you. While the prayer was going on, and I joined, because I joined a couple of times. I joined and then, you know, stepped out a little bit to put some observers, you know, just like the way we do. When I joined finally to continue, I just felt that canopy of presence, like a blanket, like an envelope. And I'm like, the presence is here. So there's that anointing. It began to brew up from the point of the prayer that Peter was taking when he was praying about the meetings and talking about the praying about that last session of prayers. It was brewing that time. So now there's this outpouring of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon people. It's going to bring a change, a newness to your spiritual life. The Mimshak Ruach HaKodesh. The Mimshak Ruach HaKodesh. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lekusi Kalabratakas. Lord, let that anointing be loosed in the midst of the people. Let it tackle whatever battle, whatever situation, whatever adversity, whatever the mountain is, whatever the problem is, whatever the trouble is, whatever the issue of concern is. Lord, let this anointing tackle it. Rather, let this anointing tackle it. Father, I declare by your word and according to your spirit, the deployment of this anointing of God in the direction and the areas of concern for the people joined into this meeting. Whatever that area of concern is, whatever the issue will be, whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, Father, I deploy by your grace this anointing that you are pouring out and this outpouring of yourself in the direction of those challenges. As it is written in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. How God anointed, that anointing was the reason for that intervention in the midst of oppression. So right now, Father, I speak by the Spirit of God and I speak by this anointing present that he tackles whatever battle anyone joined in, connected right now, is currently facing, that it arrests that mountain, that he arrests the oppressor, it arrests that temptation, it arrests that affliction, it arrests that issue of concern, whatever the issue of concern is, whatever the predicament is, whatever the trouble is, whatever the source and the reason of sorrow is, right now in the name of Jesus, I deploy this anointing in that direction and it tackles it right now and arrest it tonight, right now in the name of Jesus. That anointing is moving in your favor, is walking in the direction of your opposition and is surmounting them and laying them to rest and clearing the way for you in the name of Jesus. And whatever needs to work on your behalf that is not working right now, be it a man, be it a system, be it a boy, a girl, a woman, an individual, an organization that is supposed to reach out to you, that is supposed to call you, whatever the situation is, right now this anointing moves straight into those offices and begins to work things out and rapidly, quickly. That anointing moves in the direction of your favor and works things out for you right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As your word says, in that day shall come to pass that the burden shall be lifted from off your neck and the yoke from off your shoulder, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Whatever yoke anyone here has carried from the beginning of this year up to this time, whatever yoke anybody has carried into this meeting, whatever yoke is present or represented here, by the reason of the anointing, that yoke is destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever yoke it is, yoke of family's concern, yoke of financial burden, yoke of career dormancy, whatever it is, yoke of idleness, yoke of sickness and disease, yoke of confusion, yoke of distraction, yoke of stagnation, yoke of limitation, whatever the yoke may be, right now, by the anointing of God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our midst, according to the word that says that the anointing breaks the yoke, the anointing destroys the yoke, it breaks the yoke. Right now, in the name of Jesus, this anointing breaks that yoke now, now, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said Jesus was anointed. By reason of the anointing, the oppressor's work was terminated. The oppressor's work was terminated. The oppressor's work was terminated. Whatever is a function of the activity of oppression in your life, or whatever is responsible for the present state of your life right now, that oppression is over by reason of the anointing tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say, touch not my anointed. Today, as you are anointed afresh, as you have been anointed afresh and being anointed afresh, touch not my anointed. Everything that has been touching you wrongly, today is the end. by reason of the anointing. In the name of Jesus, is the anointing that terminates the yoke, terminates the shame, terminates the reproach. Tonight, that anointing breaks and terminates whatever is a yoke in anyone's life tonight, in the name of Jesus. It's real. It's the anointing. That's why I say seek it. Seek, grow in the anointing. It's the anointing, and it's here in our midst. It is declared done. If you had a sickness or any attack in your body that you could feel, check it now. It's no longer there. If you had a sign and a symptom, whatever that was wrong with you before you joined in and before this prayer, go ahead and check it now. Check it now. Check it now. It's no longer there. If it was an affliction, a pain, growth, whatever, go ahead, check it now. If there's anyone here like that, go ahead, check it now. It is no longer there, because the anointing terminates the yoke. If it was something wrong in your system, confirm, check, confirm your healing, confirm your liberty. It can be there. It can be there. It can be there. The anointing of God is in our midst. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is here. Father, we give you praise. We terminate persistent and stubborn migraine. We arrest it. Persistent, stubborn, consistent migraine. We are arrested by this anointing tonight, in the name of Jesus. Whatever cause of body weakness, stressed out today, renewal of strength by the anointing.
Amen.
He said, my cup shall overflow. Paradosh makasis okorobosh. It is done. It is done. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, go ahead, worship God. The anointing is yours. The anointing is yours. If tonight, if you like, you can go with it. You can go home with it. If you want it, you can go home with it. The anointing is yours in Christ. It's an inheritance of the sons. It's not for you. Yes. If you want like the anointing, this anointing, you can go home with it. If you like it, you can live with it. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. If you like it, go with it. It's yours. Go with it. Go with it. Kanda bakasha. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Welcome everyone tonight to such a gathering. We thank God for the success of yesterday. When I had the opportunity to speak with some persons, I asked them, did you get the meeting yesterday night? Did you understand what was said? Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for all these signs and wonders and grace in our midst. We love you. We give you all the praise. Take all the glory, and blessed be your holy name, mighty God. Be thou glorified and magnified. For in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Saying yesterday, when we had the opportunity to just talk with some folks, I began to ask them, did you understand what we said yesterday? And some said, yeah, we did, we got it. Some said mind-blowing, others said, well, it was my light just flooded my spirit. And the objective is because we wanted to be sure that at the other side, the people were getting this light, these words. It's necessary. The necessity of this word is that because of the revolutionary nature of the things God will be doing in the earth, we must be prepared for it. We must be people and individuals that can receive it. Jesus said, Matthew 19:11, not all men can receive it, except to whom it is given. But what if the people to whom it is given themselves can't receive because they are not prepared? So there has to be a heart readiness and a mind readiness and a composition and a configuration of personhood to receive it. Because of that revolutionary nature, everything we see here by God's mercy is 99% defeats the status quo. Like when we tell you, you can still be a scientist and be a pastor. You can be pastoring your research center. Like when we tell you, you can have an IT firm and the firm is just a move of the spirit. If you build an office, the structure will be different. There is no rule. You are not in a classroom that says office must have this, must have that. People want to follow a trend and belong. Initially, you can already see that initially offices were like buildings with blocks. Offices. You come here, this is the office of the this. Nowadays, offices are just a large hall that are divided. Organizations, work environments, just a large hall divided. And then they just section it and give everybody a desk. Like more like a library, the way they build a typical library where there's a division. That's why you see the phrase workspace began to replace my office. Why? Because it's literally a workspace. They give you a space to work. They section the hall, put glass doors and just divide it. And then the HR's position is somewhere. You come, the head of operation is here. Then just build and then structure in another way. And then they just carve out a portion, put your PC on a desk, and then you just have your own section and you have a workspace. And then they call it a workspace. But in the old times, it wasn't always like that. There were blocks, you walk in, you come out, you take staircase, you go here, you enter this, you enter that. There are still other kinds of revolutionary kind of structure. Somebody steps into your work environment and says, this is unusual. This is unusual. Something just happened. Peter, you know what just happened?
Sir.
My God. As I said, this is unusual. A light was just fired inside. I just saw it in 1 second. My God. And right now, a whole teaching has downloaded in 1 second. Oh my God. As I just said, and I'm not taking, we have what to say, but we have to now visit that. My God. This is unusual. The light just fired. In 1 second, the whole speech has downloaded. Okay. Then let's visit it. Now, this is direct work. You know, there was a meeting we had. I don't want to share you that meeting. That we taught day one and day two. Sir, it was right as I opened, as we are about to speak, that the teaching downloaded. If you watch the way we spoke, we said, there is something called, and then we started speaking and didn't finish it at the end. It came as we wanted to open our mouth to speak. And just right now, as I say, this is unusual, and then it fired direct. Oh my God. So now I'm showing you real time. This is a live streaming now. You can do it differently. So we must be the individuals that are the world. This is why this is necessary to prepare you. You must be the individual to accept it. We talked about yesterday about the Alex, right? And we talked about how Alex was different from his community folks because he was different. And then we went further to see that clearly in scriptures, that God said concerning Caleb that a different spirit was in him. A different spirit. So you must have a different spirit inside of you. And listen, that different spirit is a configuration. It's what?
A configuration.
Yes. It's not like they put another spirit of Caleb inside him. He had a different heart. That was spirit, if you check the thank you. Leporotosh kandal ibash. Lebekeskuta labradakateko lebekete katekalabakatash. Kalabakata kalabakaskete lebekete. Leprotokotos. Is the word ruach mashkata labradakata. It means spirit, it means mind, it means the heart. A different configuration power. Kai, I just saw a word now, I told us. This is Malabalakash. I just saw a word now, just as we have said earlier. Kalabakas kete lebeke dias. Kai. This is unusual, then the word fired it. Jesus. Now, I want to now show us that word. It just came now. I want to show you a revolutionary from scriptures. It just fired it now. Likos kalabakata kalabakasketo lobotokoskita lava umbalosh. Librakata kalabakata kalabakaskupologodias. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10. I want to show you the revolutionary that is well defined in scriptures. Likos katalabakasketo lobotokos. Father, we give you praise. 1 Kings chapter 10. Please, if you have your Bible, you should listen. If you should read it, or if you don't. Father, we give you praise. Now, let me find out where we should start from. Alright, maybe let's start from verse 10. Sorry, let's start from verse 1. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, can we hear me, Glory?
Yes, sir.
Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue. That's a great train. And that's like entourage. With camels that bore spices very much good and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all questions. There was nothing difficult for her or the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon. Now listen, the house he had built, the food on his table, the sitting of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway, that is the ascent, the way he designed his staircase, the ascent, the way which he went up into the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own lives about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard." There was something different about Solomon. Solomon was not normal. He was a king par excellence. He was a different king. I mean, a king that people will travel to. People run away from kings unless they have business with them. This one, people travel. He was like a celebrity king. He was a star. He kinged differently. Let me put it that way. This was a celebrity king, like they would say in our days, that had fans. People travel to come and hear him speak. His words alone. They just came. There was something different about how Solomon did. Solomon was so keen. He paid so much attention to details that he did everything different. He took so much attention to every detail in everything that he pertained to him, so that everything was done differently. That a ruler of another kingdom would come and would almost want to pass out was breathtaking. by the arrangement. It wasn't a kiss.
Father, we give you praise.
It was his dining, the way he arranged his food, the way his servant wore uniform. Every off service in the house had his own attire. They were organized. No conflict, everything had order. It was different. This is a queen that must have visited many kings, but this one took her breath away. He just took her breath away. Listen, the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 14. It said the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. He said, besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. Now listen, and King Solomon's 100 large shield of hammered gold, 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields. Now look at verse 18. All right, 17 says, he also made 300 shields of hammered gold, into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Look at 18. He said, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps. The top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Look at this. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. Nothing like that. He did it differently. Like that had been made. Nothing like that. God, he was out of his time. He took kingdom to another level. He said that this thing can be beyond just government and leading. It can be creative. It can be demonstrative. It can be interesting. You can make it an act. You can make it an act. It can be an act. It can be better than this. He took it to another level. Are you taking what you are doing to another level? It can be an art. It can be an art. Not just lines and colors or lines and shapes. It can have color and hue and graduation and gradient. It can have a hue. It can be an art. He took kinging. Please, that word exists now. To another level. Nothing like this has been made for any other kingdom. Nothing like this. How did he see it? Solomon was just new things out of this world. He wrote songs, new proverbs. God. Was a king. He did it differently. Till date, his style of kinging was not existing. The lady said the apparel of the people that served in his house, the arrangement of his food, his house had an administration organized. The people that brought feared his household, they had a government. There were 12 of them. Each one brought served, provided food 1 month and rent. His own turn will come again in 11 months' time. The people that worked at sea to provide furnishing for the building of the house of the Lord, they worked 1 full month and then went home for 2 months. So they were 1 month on, 2 months off. He designed shift. If there's anybody that invented shift in working, Solomon was the first one that design that people can have shift at work. 1 month on, 2 months off. That's what most of the petroleum companies do for people that go for deep sea exploration. But Solomon has already started it. There's no history in scripture that people were doing shift, but he came up with giving his worker shift. The like of this was not done in any kingdom. You, why not do your own different? This is what you are doing now. I'm like, this is, what are you, what, which one is coming from you? 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 He turned kinging, leadership, kingship. He took it from being government, politics, and all those boring stuff. He turned it to be an act. He turned it to be creativity. He turned it to be something else. Interesting. He made it enjoyable for himself. He took his time. He enjoyed his life. He made his work an art, an expression that people had to come and see. Have you seen the throne of King Solomon? You have to see that throne. The pictures are everywhere. People are drawing it in the city. The throne of Solomon is something else. Where did he get it? And then people, because there were no WhatsApp, no email those days. If you want to see the throne, you have to journey. Have you heard of the story of the throne of King Solomon? It's overlaid with gold. Ivory and then gold. The steps, there are six lions in a large hall. Serious? It's a wonder. The king, the queen says she's going to see his throne. The like has never been done for any kingdom. For the in your 80 years, 90 years that God has given you, 120 years, what will you do that will say that they will say the like of this has never been done? That is what we are preparing you for here. Initiating the seed, configuring you, correcting your mind to be the right person. Because we said yesterday that the necessity of revolution of is that is for pioneership. If you don't have a mindset in that direction, you can't start anything new. Because they will say nobody does that. There are individuals that think that because nobody is doing it, it doesn't exist. The other individuals that don't care what people do or what people are not doing, they explore realities and possibilities. The like of this was not in any kingdom. I'm putting it to you. What will you do? There are many things in Christ that the like of it is not in the earth. But nobody digs that further. They want to do it the way we are doing. My God. They want to do it the way they like of it. I saw the stories of Kenneth E. Hagin and his encounters with Jesus. Jesus will come and be correcting him. Just one time they started a healing service, a healing school. And when they start the healing school, they will do praise and worship for 45 minutes. Long praise and worship. So Jesus came to him and told him, he said, what did you call this program? He said, it's a healing school. He said, is it a worship service? He said, no. He said, then don't take all the time singing praise and worship. Take 15 or enough time to get the people connected. And once that is done, start teaching. Huh? Jesus came to. And he was bringing out new things. He was teaching about the plan of God. And he said he will start this. People will send email, we want to start this same thing. Telegram, how do we start it? He said, if God asks you to start it, then he will tell you how you start it. The plans cannot be the same. He was holding the meeting in place. Jesus told him, don't hold your meeting in denominations. Go to a neutral place. Start it start it in a hotel room, in a hotel ballroom. Hold it in a neutral place. Move out of denominational attachment and hold the meeting in a neutral place so that all men can come there. So he started holding conferences and teachings in hotel conference halls. Jesus taught the man directly how to just step out of the grid. There are still other things in Christ Jesus that the like is not in any kingdom. Paul saw this, he knew. See, the depths of the wisdom of God, they are unsearchable. The depths are past finding out. We can't exhaust Christ. No. Jesus was a different thinker in his generation. So different. So different. I showed you yesterday, the first sermon he spoke, the traditional people, they wanted to stone him. They brought a woman before him. This one caught the act of adultery. Moses said we should stone her. But you, what are you saying? He just came out of one place and said, he didn't say, he just told them, if you are without sin, the first of you that is without sin should cast the stone. One simple statement disarmed a band of mob. Can you disarm a mob with a word? Angry mob with stone. God, that's the kind of Lord you serve. His depth of thinking was not from this creation. Is that a measure of his wisdom that was on Solomon? A measure of his wisdom that was on Solomon. And he was already building things that were out of this world. Building things that they nothing like it is in anywhere in the world. Now you, his son that has the spirit inside you, you are copycat. If nobody is doing like that, you don't want to be the first. He who strives for excellence strives alone. He who strives for excellence walks alone. He who charts a new path is mostly a lone ranger. It's after a course. My God. A pathfinder, we find paths, not follow paths. A pathfinder, we find paths, not follow the paths. A pathfinder will find paths, not follow it. They couldn't catch his thinking. They were not comparable with him. His thinking was fast and above their own. Jesus stood above all his peers when he walked the earth. He didn't start as an adult. He started from even as little as 12. He was far above. He stood taller than all his generation. He stood taller than all his generation. They brought a question to him. They said, who do we pay tithe to? Who should we pay this tithe to? To Caesar or to God? And he told them, bring the coin. And they brought, he said, whose image is on the coin? And they said, it is Caesar. Then he said, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Give to God the things that belong to God. And they said, ah! I think some of them would later go and say, we'll later use that quote. The like of it was not in any kingdom. That's the one. The like of it was not in any kingdom. That word should go follow you home tonight. The like of it was not in any kingdom. Father, we give you praise. Something is going to happen to you after this course we are taking, and after this season and this period, you will not be normal again. Your traditional mentality will be altered. You won't be the same. You can't be the same. Something is going to happen to you. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for this word. The like of it. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for your word and your gift. Be thou magnified. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your grace and your help. Let your mercy be with us, Lord. Thank you for your help. Let your mercy be here. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Yesterday we looked at revolutions and revolutionaries, talking about the individual, and we looked at quite a number of things before we finished yesterday. So today I'm going to continue from yesterday by asking on this note, what is the foundation for revolution? What is the seed of revolution? Because we looked yesterday, we saw that we were trying to see the necessity of revolution. And then so we are going to look at what is the foundation. And in looking at that revolution, that the seed of revolution, we're going to have tonight captioned in this slide. What is the seed of revolution? What is the foundation? What starts it? What enacts it? What is the place, the power, the force in a person that is a revolutionary? And the word is thoughts. Somebody say thoughts. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 to 9. Let's see the revolutionary God. In Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 9. Father, worship you. My God. Isaiah 55, 6 to 9, the scripture begins to read. God speaks to Isaiah. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake your thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and we will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, God, my God, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we see a gap between the divine thinking and the human thinking. There's a disparity, there's a distance. Now, yesterday we said that a revolutionary move or a revolution is an upheaval, it's a shift in perspective. As a matter of fact, one definition said what the overthrowing of a long-standing mindset, a perspective, an adjustment of paradigm, an adjustment of boundary condition. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So there are such a things as high thoughts. Somebody say high thoughts.
High thoughts.
It's a matter of frequency. Koto lati kabaya. It's a matter of frequency. High thoughts. Levels. Complexity, sophisticatedness. Degree of intricacy. Degree of elaborateness. Degree of sophistication. It all happens in the thought. Listen, a revolutionary dog may not have muscle. It may not be as big as whoever you think, but his thought is corrosive. The strength of every revolutionary is his thinking. Thoughts makes revolution. Thoughts makes revolution. Listen, every advancement in society is founded on the thinking, whether you like it or not. You are governed according to men's thought. Democracy is a Greek word. It's a Greek doctrine. It came from the school of thought that of the democratic school of thought of the Greek philosophy and scholarship. Till date, it's those men's thinking that organizes us, whether you like it or not. You are ruled by a man's thoughts. We are here connected virtually live on Telegram. We are connected by a man's thinking. The whole world is an interconnection of thinking. Whether you like it or not, you are holding your iPads, your iPhones, your Android, your laptops, your computers. You are sitting before a man's thought. Everything is a manifestation. It's an image of a thought. A revolutionary is earmarked by his thinking. It is think. It's not his muscle. That's why they don't fight. It's not muscle. They themselves will not go to the fight if there's anything like that. But their thought energizes their generation to take an offensive step in another direction. If you are not a thoughtful person, forget about it. I was interviewing a loved one, somebody close to me then. And I asked the person, do you imagine? Say no. I'm like, how? Say, what will I be imagining? Sir, as less than 10 years, I could be in a dark room and 2 hours I'm thinking. I didn't know that there are people. What am I? I'm just imagining things. I imagine it's so real, like I'm being engrossed in it and the place is dark and I'm there for 2 hours. And I'll be talking out. That is, the conversation and the things I'm doing, I'll be communicating it. And you just see me lie down and the whole place is dark and I'm talking. I'm caught up in thinking. So I enjoy it. It's another world. My God. So when I ask you, do you imagine things? Say no. Say you don't think and make up things. Say no, I don't. So what do you do inside your brain? Oh no. One time I said something, one of my cousins now, who is a barrister, said, I can give an arm and a leg to know what goes on inside your mind. Caught up, if you are not a thought, some persons have no thinking. They don't do nothing. There are people that work with me, and we call them, talk with them, and say, go and think and come back. Go and some people here know that thinking is an assignment I give them. We talk, discuss in a light. I say, oh, I clarify this is go and think it and come back with the results. Go and think on this, think through this. When you are done, when you call them, is that what they say? I'm still thinking. I say, all right, when you are done, they don't think, they are just moving. Motor, engine. You know, the engine has no intelligent parts. It's just mechanisms. They are just working, bam, bam, bam. Money, carry force everywhere. There's a quote we have in this house. What does it say? Okay, I think I never put that quote out. I said it to some persons. If you think harder, you may only need to just work hard. What did I say? No, that's not it. Let me adjust it. If you think hard, you may only need to just work. Yes, that's the right quote. So let me hear. If you think hard, you may only need to just work. That's excellent. I said it to us the other day during the message on systems, that the people that designed the aircraft was flying on their notebooks before they went out to build what their notebooks agreed with. Nobody will go out to start joining metals that will fly. What is wrong with you? They simulated the parts. They used design principles and fabrication to design the wings, to design the parts, and assembled it by reason, and said that according to equations, the laws of aerodynamics, the principles of aeronautics, and objects that fly on air, all the fluid engineering variables and the factors taken into consideration, these objects should fly. And then they went to do it. They didn't say, let's join metals. That putting together is what the Bible calls the scheming and the imaginations of men. The scripture talks about men's imaginations. God responds to men's imagination as though they spoke, because thought is powerful. He said he frustrated the devices of the tokens and make a divine mind. Make a diviner's mind. He turned wise men backward. He said, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you. So we are talking the duties. I don't, you can't, you not be thinking. Why do you have a mind? It's to retain information. Your mind is to generate wisdom. Not there are people's mind is a retaining center. It doesn't give birth. Can you believe that? Some minds don't give birth. They don't. Nothing comes out of it. Nothing comes out of it. It's only what they only retain what they took out from. What the point I'm trying to drive out is, some will not create. Their mind is for retaining. Does not conceive, no conception. No, your mind is a womb. You should conceive. The knowledge you take in as seeds, they should conceive. Whatever you sow into the earth comes back a hundredfold. If you read one, you must know 10, because you should diffuse it and you should reproduce inside your mind and come back with 10. You can't do garbage in garbage. You take in one, you give out one. You don't have a mind. If you take in one, 10 must come out. Why? You absorb it and think on it very well. And then come out and speak in several possibilities out of one. That's an intelligent fellow. A revolutionary. It is taught. It is taught. Have there been revolutions before? Yes. Makas kutala brata kasketele brigadias. Lepekos katala brakadios. We saw Solomon. His thinking was different. He planned out the structure. If you look at the structure of his house, the way he opened windows in his house, and so you know what? Solomon was the one who gave his house name. It's not written in any scripture except from the houses of God. Solomon's personal house was called the Forest of Lebanon. The house of the Forest of Lebanon. His seat is where his throne is called the Hall of Judgment. He was naming his buildings. Now we have them naming houses. But before anybody was giving house to name, Solomon already started naming his house. It's only the house of God that had names, and then places. Solomon's house was not just a house, it was a location, so he gave it a name. The house of the Forest of Lebanon. It wasn't a forest. Why he called it that, I may tell you one day. It is taught. Your thinking will set you apart. I have two things to say. I have about 32 minutes now. Your thinking, the thought in you, is what energizes a revolution. It's what energizes a revolutionary. Your thinking. Every revolution is powered by a thought. It's not power. People need to be organized. You know why? Let me tell you something. Jace, we have cars. Cars are mechanical arrangements and setup. Of course, we all know that. There's a wheel, there's a piston, there's an engine, there's a chamber, a combustion chamber, there are gear wheels and gear boxes and everything. But for a car to move, there has to be an intelligent agent that is coordinating it, else there is disaster. There has to be an intelligent agent coordinating it. Now, with the advent of self-driving cars, they didn't rule out an intelligent agent. They only advanced the intelligent agent from being a human being or a human agent to being an intelligent system, which is what you call your artificial intelligence. So we have Google self-driving cars, we have Tesla self-driving cars, and all the other self-driving cars that is driven by an intelligent factor. What it confirms to you is that there can be motion without intelligence. What did I say?
There can't be motion without intelligence.
Yes, hence motion is going to disaster. You can't advance without reason. You can't proceed without strategy. You can't go forward without being animated by wisdom. There can't be revolution if there's no thinking. Say it again, there can't be revolution if there's no thinking. So we have a mechanical setup in your cars, in your machines, but there's an intelligent factor coordinating the direction so that it doesn't crash into people or crash into buildings or into obstacles and damage the overall system. Every revolution that is not defined by thinking will self-destruct. It will do what? The people will destroy their own self. If there is no clarification as to what is the direction of this advancement, it will lead to self-destruction. And you see that coordination. We had an issue about 3 years ago in this nation where lives were lost. Part of the reason why lives were lost was that it was a revolution cry, but that was not regulated by a single mind. We had protests all over the nation, but there was no single voice that would heed. So when it should have come to an end, there was no voice to say, it's okay, let's move in this direction. A disaster had to end it until there was that onslaught and killing terribly and shamefully by political operators. That was what cooled it down. But if we had a single mind regulating and coordinating, it wouldn't end like that. Revolution without thinking will lead to self-destruction. If you are advancing without strategy, you will crash. If you are going forward and you are not looking left or right, you will run into an incoming car. That's why when you are crossing the road, you look left and look right before you move. There are too many flying objects all around. If you are not cautious, you run into one. Where there is no thinking, revolution will lead to destruction. The seed of every revolution is a thought. Is revolutionary is a thought. As I draw our curtain to a close this evening, I have two things more to say. I'll tell you the first. I want to tell you one of the biggest revolutions that has rocked the whole Christian world and the secular world. And I want to tell you how it began. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Good. Yes, sir.
There is this historical figure that, according to reports, after Christ, is one of the figures that with the most written books about, both in the scholastic world and in the historical world. That is, there are thousands of books written about him and the course of his assignment on it. That man is the German reformer, Martin Luther. One of the biggest revolutions that rocked the world was the Reformation, what is called the Protestant Reformation, which came as a label because the people protested the legislation by a biased ruling from a biased court. It rocked the world. It led to war, overturning of government. It rocked the religious, the secular, the cultural. Every sphere of human endeavor was toppled by the Reformation of Martin Luther. Go and read history. Go and study it. It had effect in every day world. It brought down the thrones of kings and queens. Because at that time, before that time, the thrones of kings were subject to the Rome, to the office of the Pope. And some kings were not happy about that because they didn't have the full authority in their own jurisdiction. They had to take decrees from the Pope. So when there was that reformation, it affected how thrones coordinate, how they arranged. It erupted everywhere. It came from a German, just a simple man. Kutodibas, Kalabas, Ketolubas. So I'll tell you a brief story about the German reformer and revolutionary, Martin Luther, and how his thought sparked off a move that changed, that altered the world for Jesus Christ. He came from a middle class family and a very tough father. See, according to what I read about him, as far back as the year 2000, that's when I first read about Martin Luther, from a book my mom gave to me in September. She got that book on the journey and brought it to me. It was a history of 10 boys. I still have the cover of that book. I gave it to a little lad who was in secondary school to read, took it to the boarding house, didn't come back with it. Such a treasure. But I have the cover of the book because I gave them without the cover. The cover is still with me in my library. He said concerning his teachers that they will save punishments up till Friday and give you all. So if you mess up on Monday, they will store it till Friday. They will lash you all the lashes on Friday. See, if they will be jotting it down, 4 strokes Monday, 8 Tuesday. So maybe on Friday you would have garnered about 47 strokes. He lived in constant fear of torments of goblins and terrible idols, according to the doctrine that prevailed in that day, that there were idols and beasts in the woods. It was that terrible. And so then what happened? He got off to school, graduated, and went to further to tertiary institution to study as a legal practitioner, as a law student. And his father was pleased with that, his profession. Very excited. Then one day, but at that time, things were common was thunderstorms. You don't have thunderstorms here. There are thunderstorms that can be so serious, it can start a forest fire. That means a thunder strikes a tree and sets the tree on fire. And then the fire spreads, and then you have a whole forest burning and then starts spreading into where people set human settlements and engulfs the area. So where we don't have so much of thunderstorms here. But you can imagine a forest fire starts and there are about 30 trees on fire. You can see the way it will spread. And so he was caught up in a storm. And then in that fear, he made a covenant and said, and prayed to one of those saints of their days in his denomination, that if you save me from this storm and let me see life, I'll be a monk. And he lived. So he saw that sign was this prayer answered, and he fulfilled his vow and abandoned his journey to become a lawyer and a legal practitioner, and went to be a monk against his father's wish. But he had to fulfill his vow. One of the things that tormented Martin Luther was that he never found peace. He had a constant accusation in his conscience. He never felt righteous. He never felt good enough. He was tormented by fear of sin and guilt. It was that strong on him. And then what happened? He continued in that light until he became a monk. He did all manner of ascetic practices, self-denial. He would eat coarse food, denying himself sleep, so that by works he could attain peace. He didn't get it. He was going through a lot. So much. Somebody don't know what that means, but the torture in the conscience accusation. So he prayed for hours. 48 days of prayer without food to have peace. When he left, he felt worse. He was in the torture. His confession times, according to history, they say he wearied all his confession priests with confessions. They were tired. Everything he was explained, so much so a priest had to tell him, forget about the small stuff. Confess only the big stuffs. Even the big stuff, so-called, he will examine, introspect every detail of his conscience. He will leave the confession with even more weight of accusation seen on him. He was a priest. That was one of his motivations to be a priest, because if he felt he became a priest, this fear and this accusation of sin we live in, it became worse. He had the privilege to be at a holy site to carry out a service once, and there was a prayer site very renowned there. People went to pray. I think it was made up of about how many hundreds or so stairs. You know those Roman structure and those with a lot of staircases. He stopped, he crawled on it on his knee and said prayers for how long on every staircase. If you step to this staircase, he will stop there and pray on his knees. He left that place with even more weight. He felt terrible. He met a priest, an elder priest, and the priest told him, "Say, well, just spend some time in the scriptures." Because in those days, the doctrine was that people don't read the scriptures. They read what the Pope writes. I'm just telling you history. I'm not accusing, I'm telling you what history is. And in those days, you don't need to confess your sin. They were selling some things called indulgence. If you buy it, your sins will be forgiven. So when the church, in quote, needed money, they will sell indulgence to plenty people so that people, and set the more you buy, the more sins you can forgive. And for your loved ones that have gone, they said they are trapped in one place between heaven and earth, but because of their sins they have to suffer punishment. You can cut down the time if you buy indulgence on their behalf for people that have died. So people were doing all manner of works to appease the conscience, but this man did all the works and lived holy, yet the conscience was not clear. He read the scripture and was afraid because he saw the judgment of God. Are we there with me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He was going, he was in hell on earth, was what he was going to. Hell on earth. And then one day, he saw the phrase, the righteous. Anytime he saw the righteousness of God, it terrified him. He said, this righteousness is how God is so righteous that nobody is righteous in his sight. And that he will deal with the unrighteous squarely. The phrase, the unrighteousness of God, always caught hold of him. And then, one day, while he was studying that book in Romans, the phrase he was afraid of, the phrase he was scared of, the phrase that terrified him, listen to what I'm about to say, it broke open before him. And for the first time, he saw that the righteousness of God meant the righteousness that God freely imputes by faith. God. And he said, he went further and he saw that the righteousness will come by faith. That is, if you believe in God, in what his son has done, then you have been declared righteous. It rocked his world forever. All the pain, the accusation, they broke off from him. He said in his word that day he was born again. Then he saw that everything he did, works, all his works, fasting, not eating one food for 2 days, praying sleepless night, 48 hours, 72 hours, depriving the body, looking pale, haggard, and everything. He saw that it was not true that he would ever attain to the righteousness. That's why that guilt remained in his soul. You know what happened to him? His thought shifted. And he saw that the righteousness of God is not that righteousness. This is writing. It's not that righteousness in which, he said in his, initially he saw that the righteousness of God is that righteousness in which God is righteous when he judges the unrighteousness, judges the unrighteous. But then he now saw that righteousness as the righteousness that God is, and that righteousness of God that he imputes to the unrighteous through faith in his son Christ Jesus. Sir, as simple as this, it's not a simple thought. It, because, sir, I won't be able to narrate all history for you because of time, but the whole world was caged in the doctrine of works. This thought, revolutionary thought from scripture, is the foundation of Reformation. If you want to know more, read the histories and the impacts of the Reformation. Sir, he scattered Europe, one thought. The man was a mobile force. A force. There was a riot in the city. He came and preached a message. The riot quenched. everywhere he see, they had to say they put ban on him, don't enter the city, because kings were afraid for their throne, religious were afraid for their members, because everywhere he went the city would shake. One man with a new thought, one man with an inspired revelation, one man with an inspired understanding was a terror to the world. He shook the thrones of kings, queens, religious people, nobles, cardinal, the pope. He shook all their thrones. Read history. He didn't start with a sword. A thought was enough. He came from Romans. The righteousness of God, it cleared before his eyes. One man, he altered. Europe was on fire. The king of France, the king of England, the king of Germany, all their thrones, kings favored him, the ones that were happy that finally the authority of the so-called religious head has been toppled, that scripture does not support his administration. They became friends with him. This one got angry. This one, they feared him for his thinking. They couldn't harm him. He died in the midst of his loved ones. Kotosh Mata Teka Siga Kopolotos Kopala Takatia. Stop. One thought. What will you think in your days? Katapokosimaka. What will you think? What direction will you think? I said yesterday that the boundary of your life will determine the thought God can conceive. What room will you give to for Christ to conceive in you again? In those days, they had supercomputers, computers with sir. They said advanced physics, people with advanced degrees in physics, we are finding it difficult to use the internet. The computers were owned by military organizations, large research institute. That's why you see the man who developed the World Wide Web was a physicist. He was a research physicist. Created the first HTML link. He was a research physicist. Large mega corporations. And Bill Gates came and said he will make the computer accessible to everyone. So he started producing what he called PCs, personal computer. They say, hey, today, even cats have PCs in Europe. People's pets have their own computers to be watching cat videos on YouTube. If you wake some people now 80 years and put them in the room and say, do you believe people can have? They say, no, people can have computers. No, it can't. One man said, I will make it available for everyone. What will you think in your days? How will you do your business? How will you live your life? So is the foundation for revolution. Kopos kapada kadias, lekes kepa katius kopokotus. Oh my God! Oh, talabata kapada. A foundation for his thoughts. What will you think? What will you think? What will you think? As I don't know, I just have one more thing to say, but I'm already 10 minutes. I just have 10 minutes left. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Kai, if I don't drop this bomb, should we leave it till next week? Oh, next week may be too far. I want the heat to just cut fire in your mind and so that you are released acidic, released, charged. So this completes our introductory phase to revolutions. They will still occur. I've told us what revolution is, revolutionaries, and then the seed for revolution. So I wanted to share with you some stuff. And just some thoughts that will set a foundation for your thinking in various directions. They may not be revolutionary, they may be revolutionary to some persons, but nevertheless, it's going to set a foundation that some persons lead me and can't stop thinking. I tell you that as you lead me, somebody visited me one day, I say, don't use a taxi. Enter the big transport, the one that is very slow. Sit in the direction where you, because you'll be thinking till you get to where you are going. Say yes, yes. I say, as you are leaving, your mind will be engine. An engine will start turning your brain. Your thoughts will just, because as we are speaking, we are turning in the system. By the time your system leaves with power, it starts generating image on its own. You have to trap it down by documentation. Welcome. Congratulations. You have crossed the introduction to revolutions and revolutionaries. I believe that with these words today, something as you have been immersed and an experience already. Yesterday's teaching will be produced. Get it also for those who were not here yesterday, so you can get the beginning of what we're saying. I want to tell us some few things. I want to talk to us about what I've captioned, some thoughts on money and value assets. What did I call it, sir? I want to talk to us on that. Now, why am I saying this to us? I want to shake the table in your mind. I want to set something rolling. There may be things you know already, but I want to leave you the question, and then what? What next? What if? And so then, and then. You know, and then is a continuation. When he came to my house, he came over and then. I want to leave an and then in your brain so that you can continue. Some thoughts on money and value assets. I had to dig back into some books from some, not this year, to just extract 1-2 key points out, some points out of it to just talk. I wanted to use this to tie the end of this teaching tonight, so that you, this week you are entering, you can generate. So some thoughts on money and value assets. We say that the foundation for revolutionary thoughts, that is what I'm about to say, is just foundation, or so that revolutionary thoughts can start brewing up in your mind. So first of all, I want to talk about, just talk briefly on the concept of money. Because when I want to address a subject, I dig down to the root. I like to start from the beginning. I dig down till I can't find, then I start from there. So we all know the history of money, that it came as a result of economic necessity or as a response to challenges within economic interaction between individuals. The history of trade tells us that the trade system then was by barter, that people exchanged what they had for what they needed. But after the long run, a lot of troubles developed, and we know it in quotes to be a matter of double coincidence. Because if somebody has an iPhone and needs a PC, he has to look for somebody that has a PC. But not just somebody that has a PC, somebody that has a PC and wants an iPhone. Because the person that has a PC may want a bottle of petroleum. I'm just giving an instance. Or the person that has the PC may just want a sofa, a couch. So the guy with the iPhone that needs a PC is not his candidate. So That was the problem of double coincidence. And it posed a lot of trouble and was a hindrance. So people began to think, what do we do? What do we do? So that, you know, those history, they introduced the concept of the cowries and other means of what I call universal exchange, something that could serve as a universal exchange. But that also faced troubles because of knowing of how to allocate value to one unit of that universal stuff, the exchange means. Because how do we know how many calories is what it matters? In that case, we must attach the value of that calorie to something so that we can use it to measure it. Apart from that, the voluminousness of in terms of weight. So because of that, it evolved until we have your money system, right? Now, let me tell you. Money evolved as a result of economic necessity. Let's talk about some concepts. One of it is the dollar-backed currency or the gold-backed currency and what is called the fiat currency. Now, what that means is, I'm just sharing concepts. If you don't know them, get to study. I'm going somewhere with this. What it means is, because there was a time when the United States, their currency was backed up by gold. That is, the value of a dollar was represented by a value of gold. So that when you have $1, you know that I have, in apparent terms, so worth of gold. As a matter of fact, you could go to banks and exchange your dollar with gold. Now, that is to say that the number of dollar in circulation was determined by the number of gold the United States Treasury had. They couldn't print more money than they had, than the value of gold they had. And that's why the currency was very strong. Now, why am I saying this? I'm laying foundations and I want to take us somewhere. If you can't get it, we just close the meeting. Because I know that we have been overfed with some things. I'm just seeing if you can still take this. Just some thoughts here. So, now the dollar is not backed up by gold anymore. Think, was it Roosevelt that made that decree and took the currency of it? Is it Roosevelt? I can't remember if that's the particular president right now. But the Federal Reserve took the currency. They made it a currency by decree. They began to print as much as they needed when they ran into trouble. Now, this is what I'm saying. And listen to my thoughts. What do you define as wealth? How do you say you are rich? Is it when you have so much money in terms of money? Is that how you say you are rich? What really is wealth? Now listen. Nobody needs money, really. People are only interested in what money can give to them. Money is not wealth. It is the value it holds that is wealth. Because if I give you 1 billion that has no value, can't say you have it. Because money itself is a structure that money, people think money is is compulsory. It had to be. It's a design scheme. The same way you have social media and somebody built Facebook. That's how money was designed, the operation. It was thought out and implemented. Take for instance. Let's say an individual here, you have 1 million. In the past century, you had 1 million worth of gold. But now that gold is no longer the standard, what is the measure of that wealth you have? Some person may be saying, okay, what is he talking about now exactly? Here's what I want to tell you. When you hold on to money and say you have wealth, you don't have wealth. Because somebody who had 10,000 50 years ago is rich, but not today. You know why? Because the power operators can determine its value per time. They can regulate it. Now listen, if money was wealth, every nation would not be poor. They would just have to print plenty money. But the more you print the money, you lessen the value of money. So you can't measure your wealth using money. Is the what that judges the wealth? When you look at the life of your billionaires, your ranking billionaires, Gates, Musk, Bezos, and all that, they will tell you they are worth 103 billion. Do you think they have that 103 billion in a bank account? That's why they don't tell you they have 100. They say they are worth it. They say they are worth it. Not they have 103 billion. They are worth. The reason why you can't have money and call it wealth is because if you hold on to money, power operators can make you poor. You didn't get that. Listen. The strength of the Nigerian economy is resting on the price of petroleum. Somebody, petrol was selling for that naira in the year 2000s. People were earning 5,000 as salary. It was convenient. We are paying house rent 1.5 a year. Now, if you have 5,000 and you hold on to it, it's your wealth. I want to save it. Hold that 5,000. Now, in 20 years' time, the power authorities have reduced the value. You were rich, but you are now poor. So when you store your wealth in money form, you have left yourself to be vulnerable. Power operators can make you rich or poor. And trust me, they are making people poor. So money will make you poor for as long as your wealth is in that form. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They don't like it. Some folks don't like it. Why? See, hear what I'm saying. Initially, the goal that the United States had, if they had 1 billion carat of gold, or let's see, if they had, let's say, 50 units of gold, they'll print 50 units of currency. So that if they give David one and they give Joseph one, Joseph knows that is worth 2 units of gold. They couldn't print beyond the volume of gold they had. But they took the gold backing of the currency and printed it according to decree. Now, listen. When there is too much money, the value of the money will drop. Listen to this. If we have, let's say, 50 tubers of yam. And then we have $50 in circulation. That is the total money of the total value of money in circulation is $50. And the population increases. People have money. So come and buy one tuber with $1. One tuber with $1. Right? When there is too much money now, and then there is little yam, yam will have more value than dollar. People want to pay more for the yam because people, money is not scarce. That's why you see when there's abundance in the season of yam or granules, the price drops, the value drops. If your money asset is not linked to a standing backdrop, power decisions will make you poor. Initially, people who were receiving salaries of 120,000 were excited, but the power decisions have even made those kinds of people poor too. There's a book written by two billionaires. What of their motivation? They said that the middle class is disappearing. Because literally we have the high class, the middle class, and the lower class. He said, now there's no middle class. It's disappearing. That there's now only lower class and higher class. Because the middle class are becoming poor. I have so many things to tell you. But I'm just dropping some thoughts in your heart. So what do we do? So when you say you have wealth, you have 1 million in your account. You say, I am worth 1 million. You are, what is the value of the 1 million? So now let me say this. When you have money, is it really the money you need or something you are interested in? You have the money because the money can get you something you need. Nobody needs money. It's something else that they need. Just that money is just the exchange means. So if I have 10,000 and I need a shoe or a Bible or a book or I need a service, I go, I give that, they give it to me. If you intend to keep your money as money and you say, let me leave this money in this account for 3 years, in 3 years' time, you wouldn't have saved. The money would have grown from 10,000 to 50,000. But maybe in 3 years' time, it will even be worth less than 10,000. It's 50,000, but the power value has dropped. So what do? You convert your money to an asset that the power authorities can regulate. That's why people buy gold. Billionaires don't leave their money as billions. They only leave just a portion for emergencies because they know that if the economy crashes, every money, they may have 1 billion, but they know that the power of 1 billion is not effective. It's like you have the same phone but it's low battery. Now listen, there are people who are quick to convert their cash back to value assets because they know that it's not safe to store your wealth as money. It's not safe. They know that because one decision from power laws, they can make you poor. Listen, when your money, you know why? Because there are people that regulate it. It's centralized. How can you go and agree to fight with somebody when he's the one that makes the rules? I say, now you are not allowed to punch me in this fight, and then you have to follow the rules. Then he's punching you, can't punch back. Why? Punch him back. Say, no, the rules. That's what you do. It's a dangerous game when you leave your money in the hands of the people that can decide this value if it rises or it drops. Because the real measure of wealth, don't be confused, it's not money. Listen, money is an arrangement. If money was the measure of wealth, every nation would be rich. They'll just print so much of their money. It's not money that is wealth. Don't forget it now. It's not money that is wealth. It's not money that is wealth. It's not money that is wealth. Hence, every nation will print billions of currency and will give the newborn baby 1 billion naira. And you use it to go and buy chingon. The chingon 1 billion. Yes, chingon will now be 1 billion. Listen, in Venezuela, their money devalued in Venezuela to the extent that they had to start weighing it. They don't buy it by value, that is not by against, by weight. Give me yam, how many kilograms of naira? So you have to come with so much of it, they'll put it on a scale and say this is the value. That's how bad it got. The money lost so much value, when you bring your money, they weigh it in the market. They were not caring if it's 1,000 coins or $1,000 again. They were just interested in the weight. Because the government printed excess. Money is not wealth. Because at the end of the day, you don't need money. If I say, what do you need money for? You say, I need money to get a house. Oh yeah, take house. What else do you need money for? I need money to get a car. Take car. What else do you need money for? I need to be getting food. You'll be getting food daily. What else? To get food, you'll be getting food. Any food you want, you get. What do you need money for again? I don't know. At this stage, I think I'm okay now. You'll just be moving. Nothing else. Whatever you want. If they are giving you whatever you want, you don't need money. So don't mistake it. Why you need money is for your needs. But if your needs are met, you won't need money. You are looking for money for house rent, and then they just pay the house rent. You will find money for house rent again. It's not money you are looking for. You wanted to settle your rent. If you store your wealth as money, they will make you poor. If you store your wealth as money, cash, they will make you poor. They will make you poor. Because right now, between 2022 and 2023, the naira has still lost value. Fuel was 245. Which is the strength of our naira. Now it's 620. It has devalued by 300%. The naira has lost value by 300%. So if you had 10,000 now, now your 10,000 may be 3,000 what now in these days. Because yes, of course, a loaf of bread now is 1,000. That is, if you want to get a good one. The other ones are just ghosts. You take it, you don't know if you carry anything. When you store your wealth as cash, you leave the state of either you are poor or rich in the hands of unpredictable forces. The good chances are they will make you poor. So how do I store my wealth? Well, maybe we'll talk about it. I believe that from next weekend we'll start entering revolutionary thoughts. We are entering finance. By the time we finish finance, we'll now enter other fields. We'll just pass through the fields like fire and just leave you with thoughts. Just lash you left, right, center with thoughts. You'll just be thinking out of the world. We'll just be passing through fields. We'll stop here tonight. Please, we have left one installment. I'm 13 minutes behind. Go ahead, give God praise, worship you. Thank you for all the wisdom that you have received today and all the impartation. Thank you for the anointing of His Holy Spirit that came today and is handling all situations. Give Him praise. Thank you. Father, we glorify you. Be thou magnified. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Trust me, you don't want to miss any round table again because it's blazing. Will be blazing through fields, all manner inventions, engineering will pass through all of them. You know, they say a fire before them, behind them a flame burneth. The lions are the garden of Eden, for them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. We blaze through and leave pathways of fire. Anyone that it concerns you, some of you that are thinkers in economics, some of you are working in the financial sector, I'm leaving them the rest. When we teach here, we leave it. I'm leaving you to talk, to do the remaining homework. When we come into computer science and we pass through, move here, shake the table here. Those of you that are into computers and all these things, software and hardware engineering, all of which we need it for you to just take it up from there. When we enter art, culture and this, those of you that are there, we just pass. We enter medicine, we shake the table in medicine and just leave it for you. The people, the pharmacists that are here will take it up. I say, something else is possible here. When you say this, we leave you with spirits from God that will just charge up your mind at another level. You recover. You can't. You now be thinking new things. New things. New things. New things. I remember back then in secondary school, there's a name they used to call me. Can't call it here. But I was, when the teacher wrote the mathematics equation on the board, before he said, Jack, I will just solve it. And they'll be like, how did you solve it? I said, I don't know. I just saw it and I started solving it. And it will be correct. So they started calling me something method because I would just look at it and then I don't know, it's a new topic. I'll just pick up my Bible and then just go to somewhere in my book and start solving it. And then just use another method from nowhere that I didn't know. In physics, in mathematics, I had generated my own equations that related different fields. I showed them to my PE teacher. I said, these questions, sometimes you have to solve step. So I just made this general one that I can just combine it together. I said, okay, that's interesting. When we did physics practical, it was my reading from the experiments that they had to use to coordinate the rest of the practicals when we did fluid. So then you see my notebooks, I'm just generating my own equation somewhere. Believed in doing it another way. It was a gift of God. Some things are still possible again. Some things, don't be a copycat. God, the one who finds a path, don't follow a path. So if you find yourself at a path that there's no path, is find it, dig it out. I'm not saying you shouldn't follow, of course, I'm not guiding you, wisdom will instruct you. But the one who is to find a path doesn't always follow a path. They find it out. They dig the way and others follow. Trailblazers, pathfinders, pioneers. They do the first, the rest follow. What will you do? Build something that is not the like in any kingdom. You can do it. It's you I'm talking to. If you get serious, in your field, wisdom speaks, it directs. I will not miss a roundtable next week. Because we will sink into this thing properly. The upshot is, be careful when you store your wealth as cash. They may devalue it for you. You say, who are they? The power operators. They may devalue it for you. Be careful when you store your wealth as cash. They may devalue it for you. That's why your rent is rising up. The landlord knows that he's aware that 100,000 is not worth this house anymore. So he has to move it to 150. You're like, you don't know things are hard. It's not his fault. Your 100,000 has been devalued. And you have all your money stored in cash. All your wealth stored in cash. They will make you poor. Don't store your wealth as cash. They will devalue it. Don't store all your wealth as cash. They can make you poor if they want to. How will I store it? Well, we leave it till next week. Jesus is Lord. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for your word. Be thou magnified in Jesus' name. I thank God for everyone that is here. I appreciate everyone from Manuel, Peter, Joyce, Blessing is here, Fedo, Maureen Comfort, Sarah, Andy has always been here, and Gabriel Zama, God bless you. And Michael, I was thinking about you really today, and here you are today. God bless you. And thanks for joining. Please, when these audios come, download it. For those of you that were not in the assembly, go and get the audio on height, mount positive systems and high things. Download it and share it to all your friends that are business people. Share it to all of them that are entrepreneurs. Share it to all of them. Hear it and share it. As this is produced, hear it also and share it. Say something, you need to hear this. And really, you need to hear high things. You need to hear it. Now, let me tell you. How many of you know that this weekend is still the continuation of? Because these revolutions we are seeing is the last thing we wanted to talk about last week, that the time could not accept it. You see that it has evolved to be a system. a whole training on its own, a whole course syllabus on its own. It was better to the assembly. You are having now is the dividends of the structures assembly that is still going on, feeding you. Please hear the audios again and again. God bless you. Father, we thank you. Whatever everyone has received, it has remained. Please, we want to hear your testimonies also. The impact that the word of God is achieving and accomplishing in you. We want to hear it. Healings and encounters, as well as impartations and the experience of the grace of God that you are having personally. Let's hear it and share it also with the brethren so that praise and glory can be fulfilled, giving praise and glory to God because we are hearing and seeing his works in our midst. You can contact the admins, their numbers on the platform on WhatsApp, or you can message them. They drop their contacts on the platform on WhatsApp out by any means possible. They'll drop the numbers again on the channel. Share your encounters, your questions, your experience, and your thoughts if you need any guidance, whatever. We are all here for you. We are your brethren, like I said the other day, and we still is. Jesus is Lord. God bless you. Father, we thank you. Be thou glorified. Blessed be holy name. Thank you, mighty God. To you be praise and glory. The audio on iTunes has been shared, so get it. Be thou magnified in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining. God bless you. See you at the roundtable next weekend. Now you see that the tempo has changed. It holds a blast with it. God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.